Welcome all. Good morning, and may the Lord be with you.
And also with you.
We welcome all of you and invite you to sign the red register, which you find in your pew on the aisle. Pass it down, even though you know everybody in the pew, just pass it down and sign it. And then after worship, we will be able to greet one another by name. We thank Linda Lewis and friends for our coffee hour this morning and look forward to that time of fellowship. You'll see that we are celebrating the Lord's Supper this morning, and we receive a special communion Thanksgiving offering, which goes for the Joan Nicole Prince Home, which is a home that provides care in final days of up to two people's lives. And we're grateful that the Joan Nicole Prince Home is here in Scotia. We receive a special offering for that home today.
It's a little chilly in the sanctuary this morning. I'm sorry, the water in the furnace is hot. The rest of the church is warm. The thermostat is calling for heat, but for some reason, the heat exchangers up in the balcony are not listening to the thermostat. So we'll work on this and try to get it fixed. So get to know your neighbor today. Youth singers are going to be singing, our Sunday school youth singers are singing on Thanksgiving Eve, and they begin rehearsing next week.
The 23rd, during Sunday service,
not Thanksgiving Eve. It's during worship.
During worship on the 23rd. Who knew?
But you can come to Thanksgiving Eve anyway.
At the end of the month, November 30th, we begin Advent together, and I will be leading us through a wonderful study book that we used 3 years ago. It is called The Uncluttered Heart. It's by Beth Richardson, a wonderful photographer and writer in Alive Now, a bi-monthly magazine that we receive for daily devotions. It's on the back pew in the narthex. The Uncluttered Heart. I will lead on Sunday following this worship, so at about 11:30 on Sunday mornings, and on Wednesday evenings at 7:15. Make sure you look at the copy if you're interested. Sign up on the bulletin board outside Pastor Craig's office for the Uncluttered Heart. Today, Kristen is receiving volunteers. Yes, we always need to help you find where to use your gifts in ministry. We always have places for you to serve in working with our younger people, in teaching, and in a whole variety of ways. Make sure you see the notice about volunteers and see Kristen Bodden in Bring Call following worship.
The safe driving class announcement appears the first time this morning. Take a look at that. Next Sunday and for the two Sundays following, our own Kristen Shave, who's not only our church secretary, she also was a photography major in college. For the next three Sundays, Kristen will be taking photographs of us for us to be able to put together an online church directory. An online church directory is secure. You can read about that in the bulletin. We'd like to have a photograph of everybody, not just our members, but people who are friends. If you're connected to First Reformed Church in any way, we'd like to have your photo in our online directory. The beauty of an online directory is that it never goes out of date. You can give us a new photo that we can upload whenever you want. If you don't like the photo that's there, you can give us another one that you like better, and we can make it happen. So next Sunday, and for the next two Sundays after that, plan to make sure that you and yours have your photo taken for an online directory that we hope to have in place by the end of the by the first of the year. I did.
In serving the world, we will have an opportunity to participate in Operation Christmas Child. Remember those boxes that looked like this last year? We sent 100 boxes filled with goods for young boys or girls. We're going to try it again this year. There are empty shoe boxes down the hall on your way into coffee. There are flyers that describe Operation Christmas Child. There's a notice in your bulletin. See that. Talk to me or to Kristen Bodden if you want to know more. It's an opportunity for us to send small gifts to children who would not be remembered at Christmas time were it not for our filled shoeboxes. We don't have any more that look beautiful like this, but you get a shoebox and there are suggestions for the toys and the gifts that might be appropriate for a boy or a girl. A wonderful way to remember others. And in 2 weeks, Carolyn Otterness of Dick and Carolyn Otterness fame is going to be here for both of our worship times and to speak with us about being in ministry in Hungary. The Otternesses are Reformed Church missionaries who work with the Reformed Church in Hungary to integrate and serve the Roma people. People known as gypsies often are discriminated against and sometimes homeless in need of services and education. And Carolyn and Dick have been there for over 3 years and are now stateside seeing all of us who support them. We support them with about $1,600 a year, and their ministry is a really important part of life in Hungary, and we want to know more. So in 2 weeks, make sure that you are here. Bring a friend. Bring the kids. Let's hear from Carolyn Otterness. A great opportunity. Oh, many things to do, many ways in which we live as Christ's people in the world. But we gather as the people of Christ in this place. We celebrate the one who came to us as the risen Lord, the light of the world, and lighting our Christ candle are Karina and her daughter Hannah, who greeted you on your way into worship this morning.
We worship God together. For our help is in the name of the Lord, maker of heaven and earth. Book called Revelation. After this I looked, and there was a great multitude that no one could count, all standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They worshiped God, saying, "Blessing and glory and wisdom and honor be to our God forever and ever. Amen." They will hunger no more and thirst no more. Now they are before the throne of God and worship Him day and night. The Lamb before the throne will be their shepherd. He will guide them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. grace and peace are yours from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
The Alleluias resound. And yet we know that we come also as God's sinful people. We pray our prayer of confession for ourselves and for our community. Let us offer up our prayer to God who hears. We pray together, saying, Almighty God, in Jesus Christ, your beloved Son, you defeated the power of sin and death. In Christ, you opened the way from darkness to light. Help us to walk in the light of Christ and forgive us when we do not. More and more may our lives be conformed to His, who alone is the way, the truth, and the life, and in whose name we pray. Amen. Hear these words of assurance. Since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, even Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast to our confession, for we do not have a high priest who's unable to sympathize with our weaknesses. But we have one who in every respect has been tested as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore approach the throne of grace with boldness, so that we may receive mercy and find grace for help in a time of need. Who is to condemn? It is Christ Jesus who died, yes, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed intercedes for each one of us. This is good news indeed.
And now hear how we are called to live in grateful response to our loving God. It's written in the New Testament that we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. Therefore, says the scripture, let us also run with perseverance the races that are before us, looking always to Jesus, who is the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith, who for the sake of the joy that was set before him endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of God. He is for us, and he will help us on our way.
This morning's anthem is called The Saints of God. Its text was way too long to print in the bulletin for us this morning, but we'd like you to know the text. It is poetry by William Dalrymple McYeagan. The saints of God, their conflict past, and life's long battle won at last, no more they need the shield or sword. They cast them down before their Lord. Oh, happy saints forever blessed, at Jesus' feet how safe your rest. The saints of God, their wanderings done, no more their weary course they run. No more they faint, no more they fall. No foes oppress, no fears appall. Oh, happy saints forever blessed, in that dear home, how sweet your rest. the saints of God, life's voyage o'er, safe landed on that blissful shore. No stormy tempests now they dread, no roaring billows lift their head. O happy saints, forever blessed in that calm haven of your rest. The saints of God their vigil keep, while yet their mortal bodies sleep, till from the dust they too shall rise and soar triumphant to the skies. O happy saints, rejoice and sing. He quickly comes, your Lord and King. We respond to God's goodness this morning by bringing our morning's tithes and our offerings.
pray together. Surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, we present ourselves and our gifts to you. Use us as you use them to touch your world with love. We ask this in the name of our Savior Christ. Amen. Please be seated. Three weeks from today is Thanksgiving Sunday. It is also our church's consecration Sunday, where we make dedicating and consecrating our pledges of giving for next year a part of our worship. This morning, to help us prepare, one of the elders of our church, Don Skirmerhorn, has prepared himself to tell us a bit about why giving is important to his life of faith. Don, come on up, please.
Good morning and welcome, visitors and guests. Giving regularly and systematically to my church is a vital part of how I live my faith. Our church's consecration Sunday is just 3 weeks away, and to help us prepare, I agreed to share why giving to my church is important to me as a reflection of my faith. Others will be doing the same in a few weeks. I believe in the mission of our church. What we do as a congregation in Christ's name is both vital inside and outside these walls. To dig deeper into why I strongly believe this, I asked myself this question: who would miss us if our church closed? Who would miss us if our church closed? This is not an alarmist question, but rather a contemplative one. I thought of one: our ministers and support staff would be deprived of opportunities to serve in their professional and personal lives. Two, our Christian educators and our youth leaders, passionately dedicated to exploring Christ's messages with children and young adults, would lose this vital opportunity. Three, a group of developmentally challenged people gather here every Tuesday evening to sing together. They would lose this precious time. Four, the loss of the nursery school providing daily services to the children of working parents. Five, our choir, by practicing every Thursday evening and delighting us with song on Sundays, expresses its faith in and ours through music. They would feel a deep void, and so would I. Six, a quilting group would not meet monthly to share friendship and skills to create warm quilts for those in need of warmth. 19 children, along with 19 caring adults and 4 substitutes and their prayer partners in Kids Hope Outreach would disappear. Camp Fowler, with approximately 800 campers, 300 day campers, 150 adult volunteers and 30 dedicated staffers would lose our essential support. Sikkim, with its harvest banquet and our individual and collective support. 12 Stephen ministers providing care and giving support and comfort to individuals at a time of personal challenge. Opportunities to cultivate friendships by working together on special projects, such as Dutch Fair, stewardship of our property, hanging of the greens, preparing for communion, delivering flowers to shut-ins, youth performing mission work, and on and on. Samaritan Counseling Services, by subsidizing a portion of their operating costs and use of our facilities for staff and board meetings while providing over 12,000 hours of counseling to those in need. Local missions, our congregation supports financially and with volunteers in service to those in our community. For example, SALT Recovery, Bethesda House, Home Furnishings, Fowler Ministries, Sikkim, City Mission, Regional Food Bank, Salvation Army, Kids Hope, Northeast Food Pantry, Concern for the Hungry, Church World Service, Habitat for Humanity, etc., etc. And last but not least, adults participating in adult education opportunities offered by our ministers and others. So, I would miss us. I would miss this Christian opportunity for community committed to seeking and expressing God's grace and guidance inside and outside these walls. I would miss the opportunity to continue this incredible legacy created by those congregants who came before us. By giving of my time and substance, I make sure our church would not be missed. So I'm reminded of this story. The young salesman approached the farmer and began to talk excitedly about the book he was carrying. "This book will tell you everything you need to know about farming," the young man enthusiastically said. "It tells you when to sow and when to reap. It tells you about the weather, what to expect, and when to expect it. This book tells you what you need to know." "Young man," the farmer said, "that is not the problem. I know everything that is in that book. My problem is doing it. I make giving to my church a very important part of my faith. That helps me in doing it. Thank you and God bless."
Thank you, Don, for helping us to think about what it means to be part of Christ's body in this place, in this time. Thank you. We turn now to God's Word as it comes in that wonderful book, the Revelation, the Dream of John. And there I read, "After this I looked, and there was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, robed in white, with palm branches in their hands. They cried out in a loud voice, saying, 'Salvation belongs to our God who is seated on the throne and to the Lamb.' And all the angels stood around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, singing, 'Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever, Amen.' Then one of the elders addressed me, saying, 'Who are these robed in white, and where have they come from?' I said to him, 'Sir, you are the one that knows.' Then he said to me, 'These are they who have come out of the great ordeal. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. For this reason, they are before the throne of God, and they worship him day and night within his temple. And the one who is seated on the throne will shelter them. They will hunger no more and thirst no more. The sun will not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of the water of life. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God." Now will the children join me at the front?
Thank you. Good morning. Good morning.
I thought since it was Halloween a couple of days ago, I'd wear my Halloween costume. What do you think? What? What? It's not my Halloween costume. It is. I'm being Saint Jan. Guess what? We all have our Halloween costumes on today. Because each one of us, too, is a saint. I'll bet there aren't too many days when you're called a saint, are there? No. Me either. But this morning we give thanks for the saints of God. And sometimes we think that a saint is what? What is a saint? Don't know. What do we think? A really, really special person. That's mostly right. Because each one of us is a very, very special person. Each one of us, and boy, I look around this room, each one of us is made in the image of God. So when I look in the mirror, I see that I'm made in the image of God. And so are you. So are you. And so are you. And that makes each one of us very, very special. It's a wonderful weekend when, yes, you've celebrated Halloween, but Halloween is only part of what we celebrate this weekend. And we have a chance to remember those who have been very, very special to us. And we remember that we, too, are very, very special and are called to live as God's very special people. We give thanks, and our song that we're going to sing in a minute is called The Saints of God, and it reminds us that all kinds of people have been saints of God. In the days to come, I wonder what it will mean for you to be a saint of God. Let's give thanks. Dear God, we praise you for a chance to play on Friday night, for a chance to laugh, and now for a chance to say thank you to those who have taught us well or showed us the way or encouraged us when things weren't going so well. We thank you for all your saints, and we praise you that you call us to be saints too. So bless each one of us. Keep us safe. Thank you for learners, young and older, for people short and tall, all on their way following you, O Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's sing.
Toil and fought and lived and died for the Lord.
youngest learners may leave and our older ones stay in worship to celebrate the Lord's Supper together. You may be seated. The saints of God. It is All Souls Sunday, All Saints Sunday, and this day is the third day of a celebration of the church that acknowledges those who've gone before, those who have died, and it is a time to remember and give thanks for all God's saints, those who have died and those who surround us now. Halloween, All Hallows Eve, All Saints Day and All Souls Day are that trinity of days, October 31st through November 2nd. Those days that meet at a thin place, as the Celts call it, when we remember the past, celebrate the present, and walk with assurance into the future. It's an important time to pay attention. Even through these days of costumes and candy, when we act up and we act out who we may wish that we were or who we don't want to be, it's a time when we celebrate the nearness of heaven. For God's saints are those people of God who strive to become more and more like God. What has God done for me recently, you might ask? Why should I have anything to do with God? Are you kidding me? The last thing I feel like is a saint of God, and I am surely not surrounded by any saints of God. Nuh-uh. So let's talk about who are the saints of God. Quite simply, we're all God's saints. God's love for us extends so far, even though we don't acknowledge it, maybe. God's love extends so far that we're forgiven our failures and our distances from one another. We aren't saints of God because we've done something fantastic, something holy, or because we've saved someone or been so generous that God and others have to notice. No, being a saint is not necessarily because we've done something spectacular. Being one of God's saints is about recognizing our name. That name, first child of God, having been made in God's image. And that name that we take at baptism, that name Christian or little Christ, Christ's bearer, carrier of Christ. Those are things that we can't deny, having been made in the image of God. They just are. And it's not because of anything spectacular that we've done. So in these 3 days, then, we celebrate All Hallows Eve or Halloween as the day celebrated over 1,000 years ago, as the Celts dressed up to ward away evil spirits when they went to visit the graves of their beloved, praying to God to remember the dead and praying to God protect us, the living. All Hallows Eve became Halloween, remembering that hallowed means to be made holy. That's the 31st of October. And on the first All Saints Day, yesterday, we remember those who have been particularly Christ-like, very special, yes. And it's a day to name the saints, to thank God for them. And today, All Souls Day, is the day we remember how Christ calls each one of us. Christ calls each one of us to live more like God wants us to live. God calls us on this day that we might be more Christ-like, that we're called to be the peacemakers. Yes, even the younger ones are called to be peacemakers, called to be people of hope, not of fear, to be generous, not stingy and worried about money and material things. We are all called to be more saint-like, to live into that image of God that we're made in. So we remember the past and we are thankful. This morning we will name those members of this congregation who have died since last All Souls Sunday in this morning's prayer. And we name them as the communion of saints. We sang about them in the first hymn and we'll name them in the communion liturgy. We remember well. I'm grateful for the ones that I remember. You remember some of them too. Gordon Durnford died only 3 years ago. Gordon was a saint to me because he chaired the search committee that called Craig and me so long ago. Gordon took a big risk in naming a husband-wife couple as ministers of this congregation. I'm the first woman ordained minister of Word and Sacrament to serve this congregation. To Gordon, there was never a question about whether a woman could be as adequate in ministry as a man. Gordon loved my children. He was faithful in many ways. He was a saint in the ways that he led. You relied on him and you trusted in him in leadership. And I name him just as one of many, many, many. Don Trost was a wonderful leader of this place and of Camp Fowler and even all the churches in the Synod of Albany and the Reformed Church. Kenneth Wilcox was a wonderful singer in choir and vice president of the consistory when we came here. When Craig and I first came here, there were many people who died within those first 2 years. Our secretary, our church secretary, Olga. Members of consistory, Bob Carey. Carl Kirk died in his sleep, didn't wake up one day. And this week, we will name his wife, Zilpha. Many, many saints. People who have been visions to us. But we celebrate also in the present, for in the reality of that thin place between heaven and earth, we acknowledge the presence and the blessing of those who have died, even though we live these days without their physical presence. We know in a very special way the presence and love of a spouse now passed, or the joy of parents as our children, their grandchildren, grow. The gift of a wise one who is still with us as we make some tough decisions. I put on the stole that was given to me by my dad. My dad used to wear this stole, this piece of cloth around my shoulders. And my dad used to wear this. My father is very much with me as I make decisions. My mom is with me as I've been making a lot of apple crisp. It's her recipe. She gave me the recipe for rolling out pie crusts too. In a variety of ways, those whom we love, who have died, are yet still with us. And you have wonderful stories to tell about the people whom you have loved. Roberta, so many who have sung in the choir, so many who have gone before, who continue to bless us with something about them that goes with us. We are grateful. And we look to the future with assurance and with hope for the coming days. You know, the gospel lesson for today is the Beatitudes, the blessings of Jesus. that he taught at the beginning of his ministry in the Sermon on the Mount. We read about them in Matthew 5. Jesus saw the crowds and he went up on the mountain and he began to speak and he taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor or the broken in spirit. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek. They will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for the right way of living, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful. They'll receive mercy. Blessed are the peacemakers. They will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven." And on, the blessings of Jesus at the beginning of his ministry teach us how to live, yes, but also show us the way to the kingdom of heaven. We are taught well for the coming days. I recall the words of the preacher and civil rights leader Martin Luther King Jr. He spoke these words on the night before he died. "I've seen the promised land. I may not get there with you, but I want you to know tonight that we as a people will get to the promised land. And I'm happy tonight. I'm not worried about anything." We're grateful for the vision of Martin Luther King, who saw a community working together and moving forward into the future. It wasn't about him. It was about the community moving into the future, to the promised land. It's an uncertain future, yes, but one that we give thanks for as we march on, where even there will be no more mourning. The thirsty will be filled, the hungry too, and the tears shall be wiped away. We've cried as we've lost loved ones. But in this season of turning, of leaves turning and falling, of clocks turned back now, of the light turning, and our very lives turning, all of us, toward winter, in this time of turning, we yet know a steadfast God who will wipe away every tear. This is a haunted time, which gives us a chance to remember together, to commit to a future together in a new way. And as we celebrate and share Christ's body in communion, we are reminded that in Christ, death does not release us from being in community with one another. Who do you remember from the past? Who inspired you? Who made possible that path that you now travel? And how are we walking through this life in a way that will help make possible the paths of all those who follow us? May Christ nourish us at his table. May he nourish us well for the journey that lies ahead. Amen. So, beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Supper that we are about to receive is a feast of remembrance, of communion, and of hope.
We come in remembrance that our Lord Christ was sent of the Father into this world to assume our flesh and our blood and to fulfill for us all obedience to the divine law, even to the bitter and shameful death of the cross. But by his death, resurrection, and ascension, he has established for us a new and eternal covenant of grace and reconciliation that we might be accepted by God and never forsaken by him.
We come to have communion with the same Christ who has promised to be with us always, even to the end of the age. In the breaking of the bread, he comes to us as the heavenly bread that strengthens us to life eternal. And in the cup of blessing, he comes to us as the true vine in whom we must abide if we are to bear much fruit.
And we also come today in hope, understanding and trusting that this bread and this cup are only a pledge and a foretaste of that great feast of love of which we shall all partake when his kingdom has fully come. And with unveiled face, we shall behold him and be made like him in glory.
Since by his death, his resurrection, and ascension, Christ has obtained for us the life-giving spirit that unites us all in one body. So we are to receive the supper in love, mindful of the communion of saints.
I invite now elders Don Skirmerhorn and David Scalacamp and Diane Fabian and Deacon Bill Monahan to come and help serve the supper. As they gather, let me remind you, today we celebrate the Lord's Supper by intinction. In a few moments, you'll be invited to come up by the center aisle to the Lord's table. Well, you'll be served a piece of bread. You take the bread and you dip it into the cup that will be offered to you. You eat the bread dipped in the cup and then return by the outside aisle back to your seat. If it's hard for you to come forward to the communion table, when the usher comes to your pew to usher you out, simply tell the usher, please, afterwards, have the servers come to me, and we'll be happy to do that. But friends, this is not our table, this is the Lord's table. And to the Lord's table, we invite all of you who love the Lord or who seek to love him more to come and join with us in the sacrament. But first we pray. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
We pray together. Holy and right it is, and our joyful duty, to give thanks to you at all times and in all places, O Lord our Creator, almighty and everlasting God. You created heaven with all its host and earth with all its plenty. You have given us life and being, and you preserve us by your providence. But you have shown us the fullness of your love in sending into the world your Son, Jesus Christ, the eternal Word who was made flesh for us and for our salvation. For the precious gift of this mighty Savior who has reconciled us to you, we praise and bless you, O God. And now with your whole church on earth and with all the company of heaven, we worship and adore your glorious name, singing together.
Most righteous God, we remember in this supper the perfect sacrifice offered once on the cross by our Lord Jesus Christ for the sin of the whole world. In the joy of his resurrection and in expectation of his coming again, we offer ourselves to you as holy and living sacrifices. Together we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Send your Holy Spirit upon us, we pray, that the bread which we break and the cup which we bless may be to us the communion of the body and blood of Christ. Grant that being joined together in him, we may attain to the unity of the faith and grow up in all things unto Christ our Lord.
And now as this grain has been gathered from many fields into one loaf, and these grapes from many hills into one cup, grant, O Lord, that your whole church may soon be gathered from the ends of the earth into your kingdom. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
On the same night that our Lord was betrayed, he took bread, and he blessed it, and he gave it to his disciples, and he said to them, "Take and eat, all of you, for this is my body, broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me."
And in the same manner, when they had finished eating, he took the cup. And he gave it to them, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. As often as you drink of it, do so in remembrance of me."
Ushers will take you and guide you, but come, for all things are now ready.
Body of Christ that strengthens you to life eternal, and his blood that is shed for you. Bread, Christ's body, Christ's blood.
Body and the blood of Christ.
has fed our souls at his table. Now with gratitude and with thanksgiving, we sing our praise.
Wonderful to welcome Myron home and back at church. Myron, what a gift to see you this day. We are grateful that you are home from Kingsway, and we look forward to being able to worship with you more. What a nice gift. You are welcome. Let us pray to the God who hears. Gracious God, we have come to your table hungering for your bread and thirsting for your cup. But we have come in conflict and in communion, in discord and in desire. You have fed us with your own self, and we thank you. May our living be our gratitude for all that you give to us. Blessed God, we thank you for a Halloween of silliness, of ghosts and goblins, tricks and treats. But when we walk with the ghosts of past hurts or unspoken anger, will you watch over us? When we are afraid of the past, walk with us into the present. Be with us as we pass through these days, ever-present God. We thank you for this time to remember those who have lived with us, who have gone on to meet you face to face. We remember those whose faces we see no more, but who are precious to us forever, and we give you thanks. We thank you for those who taught us to pray, those who told us stories of the Christian faith, who taught us by word and guided us by example. Thank you for all your saints of former days. And in particular, we name these saints of this community who've died in the past year. And in naming them, we think of so many others. Shirley Predis.
Zilpha Kirk.
Norman Kohout.
Lee Stevens.
John Hillers.
Barbara Harland.
Hill Beckering Sr.
Victor Diemer.
Dorothy Everson.
And Carolyn Beckering.
Thank you for the saints of yesterday, and thank you for the saints of today, the living teachers and models of Christian living, those prophets who listen to your voice and proclaim truth and justice, our camp counselors, our family members, those who forgive us, those who encourage us, those who see and bring out the best in us. We too are your saints. Help us to bring out the best in others, to be peacemakers and bringers of joy, gentle reminders of you. Thank you for those who have encouraged us when life was dull or dangerous, depressing or overly dramatic. Thank you for healing when we were sick or unsafe or lost. We pray for those who need your healing and our gentle words. We pray for those who have fallen away from you, or from this congregation. Give us the right words and actions as we reach out to them. And we pray for those who are in conflict with those who love them, or in conflict with themselves. Help us to be strong caregivers and peacemakers. Be among our families, that we may be models of health to others. Forgive broken covenants with one another and with you, and restore us to wholeness. Take care of those who are weak or ill or dying. Uphold the fallen and strengthen the faint. Enable us to bring peace to our broken, warring world. And hear our words of thanksgiving for the glory of this day, for healing in Myron and in so many others. We offer great thanks. Be with us then as we grow into the future as a congregation and as we mature in our faith, moving to live eternally with you. As we are challenged this month to develop wise and generous stewardship of your resources, bless us with grateful and generous hearts. You are the foundation on which we build. And we offer all of our prayers in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the holy. Amen. We will sing the first and the fifth stanza of the last hymn. Into the days ahead to be a blessing. May God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost be with us all this day and even forevermore. Amen.